When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted, and he raised...
God appears from time to time to our ancient father Abraham. He makes great promises to Abraham about who he would become, the father of many nations, father of great nation, that all the world would be blessed through him. Well, it all begins, though, with a promise. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. What does that mean? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapters 15 and 17. Pastor Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What had God promised Abraham up to this point, chapter 15?
Well, if you go back to chapter 12, this is where Abraham received a call from God to leave the land where he was living in. He came from a city called Ur, U-R, and that was on the banks of the Euphrates River. In fact, today this area is in Iraq. And he told him that he would make him a great nation. He will bless you and make your name great. And he went with Lot then to the land of Canaan. And God had told him, to your offspring I will give this land. So when he got there, he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. And so Abraham had also taken along with him Lot. And Abraham gets blessed by a prophet called Melchizedek. He's the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. And it even says in verse 18 of chapter 14, he was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham. Then our lesson begins with Genesis chapter 15, when God appears again to Abram.
When he appears, he says, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your reward shall be very great." What does that mean?
If you'll recall Luther's explanation of the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And that word fear reminds us of the kind of fear that children have of their parents. Not that they're afraid of their parents, but they do fear that when they do something wrong, they may be punished or given discipline. And so God is making it clear, and this is said a number of times in the Bible, fear not, here to Abraham. The angel said that to the shepherds when he was announcing the birth of Jesus. Gabriel said that to Mary. And so you just get that fear, but then it's replaced, as Jesus said on the night of the resurrection, with peace be with you. And so he says to Abraham, I am your shield. In other words, I'm your protector, your comforter. Abraham is a little confused when he hears this.
How does he respond?
He says, Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and I have an heir of my house, and that's Eliezer of Damascus. But you've given me no offspring, and only a member of my household will be my heir. And God came to him again and said, no, this man, namely Eliezer, shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And then he told him to go outside and look up and count the stars if he was able to, and said to him, "So shall your offspring be." So God is making a promise to Abram that through Abram, many people will be blessed, and the number of people will be like the number of stars in the heaven.
What is the significant about the statement, "He believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness"?
This is probably the most important verse in the Sunday school lesson for that day. And the Sunday school teachers should hopefully get this across to the students, that in every other religion in the world, you're saved either by some experience that you do, some knowledge you have, or perhaps by your good works. But no, in this case, these words are absolutely critical. God just gave Abraham a promise that his own son, and remember at this time, Abraham is really old, and so is Sarah, beyond childbearing age. But in verse 6, he believed the Lord. That word belief is also the idea of having faith. And this is the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world, is that we are not saved by our works. We're saved through faith, as Ephesians says. We're saved through faith by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not that we don't do works, but they are always done after we are totally saved, because God judges our works by our motivation, not just by the deed that is done. And so here Abraham believes the Lord, and this next part is so critical, that God counted it. Now, what does it mean? It's referring to the faith of Abraham. He believed the promise of God. And this is so critical in the Sunday school lesson, that time and time again, salvation is because we have received a promise from God in our baptism, through our faith, in the Lord's Supper. And it's the promises of God that we believe is why we are counted as righteous in his sight, even though we may remain sinners.
So how did God appear to Abram again in chapter 17?
Well, in chapter 17, God returns to Abraham, and it even indicates at the beginning that this was when he was 99 years old. And God says to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer will your name be called Abram, A-B-R-A-M, but your name shall be Abraham." Now, what's the difference between Abram and Abraham? Well, Abram simply means the exalted father, but Abraham means father of a multitude. And that's what he had promised Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations. And God refers to this as a covenant with you. Now, a covenant is an agreement between two people. It also is what happens at the Lord's Supper, where Jesus gives his last will and testament, which is a covenant. "Eat this, you will receive my body. Drink this, you will receive my blood." And the purpose of this is for the forgiveness of sins. So God is making an everlasting covenant with Abraham and his offspring. And he's going to begin by giving him the land of Canaan, and "I will be their God." This is really important to understand. You don't get God to be your God by obeying his commandments. Take a look at Exodus 20, where the Ten Commandments are given. And it begins with, I am the Lord your God, and I can prove it to you. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, when you recognize this, when you have that faith, you'll not have any other gods before me. And the rest of the commandments follow. So this is a real law and gospel teaching, one of the most important in the Bible, that when Abraham believed, he was declared to be righteous in the sight of God.
So how would you describe the parts of that covenant that God reiterates with Abraham?
Well, the parts of the covenant is that he says, this is my covenant, this is verse 10 of chapter 17, which you shall keep between you and your offspring after you. And he indicates that every male that is born in the family will be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. And that action will be a sign of the covenant between you and me. Now, for the Sunday school children, we need to stress that the new circumcision is baptism. And that's even what Paul refers to as. And Jesus, remember, says to the man who wonders about how can I be reborn, that you'll be reborn by water and the Holy Spirit. And so what we have here is in the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant was 8 days circumcision, and every male, both those born in the household as well as those that they had bought as servants, that they would all be circumcised. And that's what God says as part of the sign. The second part of the sign is Sarah will no longer be called Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And the word Sarah means princess, and she will be blessed, and she will have a son through you, Abraham, and she will become nations, kings of people shall come from her. And it's interesting then, it says that Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Now, some people think that he was laughing because he didn't think it was possible. But others realize that he could have been laughing simply because we laugh also with joy. Not a laugh of unbelief, but after Isaac was born, in fact, Abraham and Sarah would ring out in joy for this gift from God. And therefore, we also can laugh because God sent us, his son, to be born of a virgin, to suffer, die, and rise again in order to bring us life and salvation.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapters 15 and 17. How did God provide for the other son, for Ishmael? We'll find out next.
A clean conscience is the key to everything. It's the case for Lutheranism.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The absolute blessed forgiveness of sins gives me a clear conscience before God based upon Christ, not on me. Clear conscience over against the manifold cultural and ideological challenges that hit us from every side. So much of the difficulty that goes on today in the world, so much antagonism is driven by bad consciences trying to argue themselves into believing what their conscience knows is false. Join me in a great lineup of speakers for the Making the Case Conference this year in Chicago. I'll see you all there.
You can meet and hear President Matt Harrison making the case for the Lutheran option at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 16th and 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on God's covenant with Abraham. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel is our guest. Tom, how did God provide for Ishmael, the son that was born to Abraham and one of Sarah's handmaids?
Yes. Ishmael, frankly, was an individual that was born of a servant, Hagar, because, well, Sarah was just worried that they weren't having a son yet. And therefore she said, I will establish a covenant with her, namely Hagar's child. And, well, when that happened, Ishmael, his son, became 13 years old, and he was circumcised, and all the men of his house were. But what happened was that Ishmael and Hagar got angry with Sarah, and they left the house. And what happened was that God met them, and he promised to take care of Ishmael and Hagar. And in fact, they became the descendants of the Arabs. And that's really kind of important. Hagar's descendants are known as Arabs, and Muslim Arabs trace their lineage back to Ishmael. But that's a conflict that, well, was in the Old Testament and continues today as Muslims fight not only against Israel, but also against Christians, who are the true children of Abraham and heirs of God's gracious promises.
Why did God not use Ishmael as the line of the covenant?
He did not use Ishmael because he had promised that the line would continue with a son from Abraham and Sarah, and Ishmael was not that son. So God had made a promise, and once God makes a promise, it's going to come true, even though Abraham and Sarah kind of rushed it. Now, it did take 25 years for Isaac to be born. And so that was kind of interesting. But Sarah, therefore, made a mistake and had a big argument with Hagar and Ishmael. And though they were taken care of by God, it was clear that they would have to wait until God gave them their own child, which they did when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 75 years old. That was a real miracle. And Abraham never forgot that Isaac had come from what should have been a dead womb, unable to bear children. So that when God told him to go and sacrifice Isaac on the mountain, he told his two servants who had gone up partway with them that I and Isaac will return to you. That's, by the way, in the book of the Hebrews in the New Testament, that is a faith Abraham had, that even though he would sacrifice Isaac with a knife and burning him, that God would resurrect him from the dead and the two of them would return to the servants. So that's the kind of faith that Abraham had in following the promise of God. And though he didn't wait the full time for Isaac to be born, he recognized his error, and Isaac became the person through whom the rest of God's people would come. And that includes the Sunday school children. In Romans 9-11, it's very clear that we are children of the promise. That's what Paul says specifically, not of the flesh. So even though many Jews try to trace themselves back to Abraham in a lineage, Paul says, no, what counts is you trace yourself back to Isaac, who was a child of promise, who believed also the words of God. And so every person who is a Christian believes the words of God, and they are countless as the stars in the heaven.
How did God fulfill ultimately this covenant with Abraham?
He fulfilled it ultimately when actually Abraham did go into the land of Canaan, but the real ultimate was that he said to Abraham, I will be taking you home. And the home is nothing less than heaven itself. So that Abraham, right now in the spirit, is in heaven, awaiting the time of judgment day, when, of course, his body will be restored to his spirit. And that's why we really celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, because his body was restored to his spirit on Easter day, even though his spirit had gone to heaven on Good Friday, as he said to the Father, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And both he and, you'll recall, the thief on the cross were in paradise that day. Our bodies will not be raised until judgment day, but Jesus' body has already been raised. And so that's a promise that Abraham really was being told, that through him would come the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer. And that's what makes a huge difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world. In fact, in the Sunday school literature, it says that the promise to Abraham is more than just a promise for one person. It wasn't just for Abraham. It was for his descendants. And I would continue to say, but it is a promise fulfilled in one person, namely Jesus Christ. There is no other religion in the world to which the adherents of that religion are told to trust a person, another human being, for their salvation. Jesus is the only one through whom people are saved. And that's why I believe the Sunday school literature points out to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. Jesus is the answer to everything that we have problems with, and is also the answer that we too will inhabit heaven with Abraham and all the other saints.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
Well, the law is, a lot of times we just doubt that God is failing to keep his promise to take care of us. Things happen to us. We may have illness. We may have accidents. We may have injuries. And we just wonder, why is God doing this? Most pastors will tell you, their members often ask, what did I do to deserve this, when they go through some problem? And that's when the pastor has the ability and the promise to talk to them about the promises from God, particularly their baptism, where he not only promises to be with the Christian forever, but that all things will work together to their good. So one promise after another brings joy even to the hearts of someone who is in despair, because the Holy Spirit moves that way. And that's the task of Sunday school teachers, and hopefully the task of Sunday school students who may be friends to Vacation Bible School and maybe even to Sunday school on Sunday morning.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. Michael New will join us to talk about two new surveys on abortion, and we'll talk about church leaders, reporters, and the news with Terry Mattingly.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can meet and hear Lieutenant Colonel Alan West at the Share in the Miracle Dinner Thursday evening, May 4th, at the Regency Conference Center in O'Fallon, Illinois. Lieutenant Colonel West is a combat veteran and former U.S. Congressman. Proceeds from Share in the Miracle Dinner benefit Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis. For more information, visit the Facebook page for Unity Lutheran School, East St. Louis. Share in the Miracle Dinner, Thursday evening, May 4th, at the Regency Conference Center in O'Fallon, Illinois.